You're listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to www.3cr.org.au.
Tomorrow morning, let it pour. Tonight we're in the groove together. Ain't gonna worry about stormy weather. Gonna kick old trouble out the door. Beat out old trouble and drunk. And kick old trouble out the door. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. And kick old trouble out the door. Kick him 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 out the door.
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. Welcome, Henrietta, who will never speak to you because she doesn't like you, okay? Now, I'd just like to remind our listeners, that the 10th of June is Radiophon Day. We need to raise $1,500, Henrietta, on the 10th of June. So we're going to have a special Radiophon program, which you've organised for me. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, we've got a special guest. Dimitri, tell us your surname again.
Dimitris Troaditis.
Troaditis.
Yeah, Troaditis.
Well,
this surname means, you know, that someone, you know, comes from ancient Troy.
Troy?
Yeah.
Are there many Greeks from ancient Troy?
I don't know if actually ancient Troy was reality.
Yeah.
But all I know, you know, there is this surname. It's really rare. Yeah. You know, there are not so many Troaditis in.
Right.
Well, I know I've got a really rare surname.
Right.
So I'm a little bit proud of that.
Well, you should be proud of it. Yeah, you have an unusual name. There's nothing like being called Smith or Brown or something like
or
that.
Papadopoulos.
Or Papadopoulos. Or Militiatis. Oh,
Dimitriades.
Yeah. They're everywhere. Yeah, Papamilitiatis.
Yeah, they're all everywhere.
Well, that's good. Now, Dimitri, the reason we brought you in is the fact that you've been associated with 3CR for a very, very long time. When did you first walk into 3CR?
I think, you know, I firstly started, you know, listening to 3CR in early 93.
Right.
Or probably before, probably, you know, was the last month, you know, of 92.
Mm.
So November 92, I came in Australia from Greece, and within a week, you know, I met with some people, you know, who were doing, you know, the Shua show in Friday morning, I think, you know, it was 10 o'clock. There was Peter Margaret, there was some other people which I can't remember now. It's Mouse, you know, it was Mouse.
Yes.
And, yeah, I believe...
How did you meet them? You're a Greek immigrant. You've arrived here.
Because, you know, my partner, Georgia, you know, was... they were friends.
Our friends,
and,
right.
Especially with Peter, Margaret, and Jessica, you know, we're living in Coburg.
Yep.
I was living in Coburg, too. So we met, you know, through other times, and then, you know, of course, you know, through 3CR. I remember, you know, I came in the studio, I think, you know, it was probably February 93. But then we started the program with my partner, Georgia, you know, in mid-93.
Mm-hmm.
It was called, you know, No World Order.
No World War. I remember that program, yes.
Yeah, and that was Friday, 12 o'clock, midnight to 2 in
midnight
the morning.
Midnight to 2, yes. It's a graveyard shift.
Yeah, really. But we like it, you know. Yeah. That was bilingual, mostly, you know, anarchist stuff, you know. Yeah. We played, you know, similar music and stuff, yeah.
So when did you meet Georgia?
All right. I met Tsotsi in 1989 in February in Athens.
In Athens.
After an anarchist demonstration, you know. After the demonstration finished with my then friends, we had a meeting point, you know, and I went there. It was Friday afternoon. And I went there, you know, anyway, and I saw Georgia. I said, you know, where are you from? I said, you know, from Australia.
Right.
Okay, from Australia, that's all right. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And then anyway, yeah, that's how, you know, I started.
Going with Georgia.
And in 92, you know, I came in Australia.
Well, obviously you came for love, not for work.
No, you know, look, I was not, you know, the traditional migrant, you know.
Yes,
because,
yes.
You know, I was not coming, you know, from a village, you know, that I was really...
coming to do shit work.
Speaking from poverty and stuff like that, you know. You know.
You came for love.
Yeah.
Come on, don't admit it. You came for love. Yeah. Look, many, many radical activists.
Yeah, of course, you know.
That's the story,
course,
you know. Yeah. So how did you and Georgia fit in into Melbourne society?
Look, the truth, you know, was that, you know, before I met Georgia, I wanted, you know, to live in Greece, you know.
Right.
I had, you know, for about, you know, 2 years, like 88 or something like that. I wanted, you know, to live in Greece because I didn't like actually Greece, you know.
You didn't like Greece?
No, I didn't like it.
Were you born in Greece?
Yeah, I was born in Greece.
What
year?
In Athens.
1979, you know, 12th of August.
Right.
So this coming August, you know, I'm going 67.
67, congratulations. Old age pension. So you didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it, especially Athens, you know, was really a really conservative society. The movement, you know, was really backward and all of this stuff, you know. And I was a person, you know, of the adventure, you know. I wanted, you know, to have adventure. I wanted, you know, to travel, you know, to see, you know, other people, you know, other countries, other cities, whatever. And, so I traveled a little bit, you know. I went to Spain, for example, you know, with a group of people. I went in... I had a relationship with someone who was Dutch, you know, and I went, you know, in Amsterdam and all of these places, but I didn't like so much anyway. And then until, you know, met Georgia, so, and we decided, you know, to come in Australia. I said, you know, Australia, the farthest, you know, the better, you know.
First, the better from Greece.
Yeah, yeah.
What did your parents think of this?
Look, at the time, I had not parents, you know, because my parents, you know, were... didn't exist, you know, when they were not, you know, alive.
Yes.
So I was living alone, you know, for about 6-7 years.
So how old were you when your parents died?
I was really young. I was 1920.
1920. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
No.
No. So was it expected, their death, or was it unexpected?
With my mom, you know, was unexpected
a
little bit because she died young, like 60 or something.
Mm.
No, my dad, no, because, you know, he was really sick.
Right. Yeah. So what was their names so we can remember them?
All right. My dad, you know, was George and my mother was Nicoletta.
Right. And were they from Athens or other parts of
Greece? No. My dad, you know, my dad's, you know, family, it's coming from Istanbul.
Istanbul.
They're coming from Istanbul.
Right.
Greeks, you know, from Istanbul. But he was born there. My grandfather, you know, was born in Istanbul. And he left Istanbul in early age because he didn't want, you know, to serve, you know, in the Turkish army.
Right.
Because, you know, they were, you know, Turkish citizens. So he left and, you know, he went in Athens. He was a builder. So my dad, you know, followed, you know, the same profession. My mother's family was from Mountain Corinth, in Peloponnese. But personally, I had not, you know, connection with this family because, you know, even, you know, my mom, you know, had not connection with this family because, you know, during the German occupation, her family probably, you know, deceased, you know, because I think, you know, her brothers, you know, were, you know, rebels, you know, with the communist army.
Yes,
and there
yes.
was some, you know, you know, battles with the Germans, and
right.
They died, they right. killed or whatever.
Yes, yes.
There was nothing, you know, this family in the village there. And I mostly connected, you know, with the tradition of my, you know, the Greek, you know, from Turkey, from Istanbul, you know, tradition
resistance,
and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was interested about the music, you know, yeah. Customs and stuff
right,
like
right,
that.
Right. So when you came to Australia, was it what you expected, or was it different to what you expected?
Look, all right, obviously there are many things, you know, new to me, but all right, we had, you know, some talking, you know, with Georgia, and yeah, she told me, you know, that, okay, look, yeah, this and this and this, you know, yeah, I was expecting, you know, really different things, especially, you know, with the social movement.
Right.
The language, you know, was a problem because I didn't know, you know, so much good English back then. So I had, you know, to go somewhere, you know, to improve, you know, my English.
Mm.
And I did that when I did the course in 93-94, 2 years full-time course, you know, in media in RMIT.
Right.
I was the only migrant in
only
the classroom.
Right.
And, you know.
Why did you choose media?
Sorry?
Why did you choose to do media?
Because, you know, I was always doing that.
What, you were doing that in Greece?
When I understood, you know, my in high school, you know, when I understood, you know, myself, you know, I always, you know, I wanted to do, you know, a job like, you know, editing and publishing and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Yeah, I was from the early age, you know, a book lover. And I started, you know, working as a journalist in 79. I was just 20 in a mainstream paper.
Right.
And then I went in a magazine. But then, you know, all the decade, you know, the 80s, you know, I mostly involved myself, you know, with book publishing, bookshop assistant. Even I did, you know, some book binding and stuff like
book
that.
Book binding?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
printing. But, yeah. But mostly, you know, with, you know, working in publishing companies, bookshops, and, you know,
right.
the Central Fathers.
Well, why publishing? I find that interesting. I mean, you're a young man. I mean, do you think the
look,
printer,
I was attracted.
Do you think the printed
I
word
was attracted
is
and still I'm attracted by, you know, the book, by the, you know, the ink.
The ink, right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, you know, we use, you know, the new technology, the so-called, which is not new anymore anyway.
Right.
You know, but still, you know, I love, you know, the paper. I still, you know, love, you know, the book, you know. To
the book,
put,
yeah.
You know, in my,
Howlett,
you know.
Yeah, in your hands, yeah. Yeah, well, book, I mean, when you told me you're a bookbinder, that's
yeah, but here, you know, when I did, when I came here, there was not, you know, like that, you know.
No.
But
you did your media course. Did that lead to anything?
Yeah, I wanted to find a job, you know, at the English, Australian, you know, papers or,
right.
You know, as a job, you know,
yep.
Or radio stations or something like that. But then, you know, I had a friend who was really close, you know, with the then owner, you know, of Neos Cosmos, the Greek newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time, you know, Neos Cosmos was looking with someone, you know, with really good Greek and efficient English, you know, to undertake, you know, the editing, the general editing, you know, of the paper. And anyway, initially I didn't want to go, but then, all right, I said, okay, all right, I'm going, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, that was in 95, June, I think, 95. And, yeah, I worked there, you know, about, you know, 31 years.
31 years,
yeah, and
with
I finished,
the same job.
I finished, you know, last January.
Last January, yeah. 31 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How often is the Greek Cosmos published? Is it a weekly or a daily? Or
Neos Cosmos, at the moment, it's published three times a week.
Three
you know, they've
times
got,
a
you
week.
Know, Monday, Thursday, which is the biggest
right.
in terms of papers, I mean pages and readership, and Saturday, which is bilingual.
Right, but There's a lot of competition, isn't there, in the Greek press, is there? Yeah, you got competition?
It used to be, because... I couldn't say, you know, there was a competition, especially in Melbourne and Victoria, you know. If there was a competition, probably, you know, was a competition between, you know, Neos Cosmos and Greek Herald, which is from Sydney.
Right.
Because, you know, Greek Herald, it's an older paper. it was, and it still is, I think, daily.
It is a daily, yes.
Daily.
Yeah.
Recently, you know, they started, you know, have a website. Recently also they started, you know, have, you know, a proper, you know, English section or something like that. But Neos Cosmos, you know, was like a power, you know, especially in Melbourne, you know, was dominated, you know, and still dominates by some way. All right, there are analogies, of course, you know, because, you know, the Greek community is not, you know, so strong like it used to be, you know, about 20, 30 years ago, you know.
Yeah. And a lot of the younger Greek don't speak Greek.
Know, but you know, still, you know, they've got, you know, some readership. Still, you know, they, you know, dominate, you know, some Greek Australian affairs, you know, in Victoria.
So where did the Greek come where did it originate, the newspaper you work for? Was it
all right? The paper Neos Cosmos founded in February 1957 by a group of Greeks, members of the then Communist Party of Australia, and there is a group of them. I don't know how many. I was not even born. Anyway, and then initially, I think, you know, it was weekly, and because I think, you know, Robert Menzies, you know, was still on.
Yes, he was still around. Yes,
and there were some, you know, problems there, you know, especially with non-English press.
Yes.
There. So I don't think, you know, they circulated through, you know, the mainstream ways like the news agencies or something like that, but I think they distribute the paper, you know, in the factories, you know, in the car factories, you know, other factories, you know, the Greeks, you know, work, you know, after work, you know, like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever, and even, you know, in their places, you know, in their houses, you know, their homes, you know, and then, yeah, it's, of course, you know, it's more, you know, it's advanced, you know, more.
Yes, yes.
And the paper, you know, went, you know, through all the developments, you know, in the communist movement in Australia, you know, in '60s. There was also, you know, connection with the communist movement in Greece, you know. '67, in April, you know, started the dictatorship. The next year, '68, you know, was a big split, you know, in the Communist Party. There were two communist parties. So the majority, you know, of the group of Neos Cosmos probably followed, you know, the so-called, you know, Euro-communist tendency. You know, they were, you know, they're not pro-Stalinist or something like that. Actually, they were against the Soviet Union invasion in Czechoslovakia, you know, which has happened, you know, the same year, you know, '68. And then, you know, during mid-70s, you know, it was until, you know, with the Communist Party or some of the organizations, you know, that came, you know, after, you know, the split and the, you know, the folding down, you know, the Communist Party in Australia. But then gradually it shifted, you know, towards, you know, mostly, you know, the Labour Party. Now... All right, it's we can say, you know, that it's traditional labor, but they don't deny it, you know, if there was, for example, you know, a liberal government, you know, and funding them, you know. I mean, all right, it's a public, it's a private company. It's a small company, actually, you know.
You think it will survive?
I don't know. My personal view, it's not, you know, I don't think, you know, it's going to survive, you know. I mean, you know, the probably next 10 years or something like that, probably I say a lot. Unless there will be some shift, like, you know, just in English, not Greek. I don't know.
Sad. It's very hard for all independent newspapers.
It's a problem because... if you consider, you know, that, you know, there are not so many schools, you know, primary or most important, you know, high schools, you know, in Victoria. They're not, you know, it's not, you know, the Greek language, you know, it's taught there. It's a problem. And the last 10 years or so, we've got another issue. You know, there is not, you know, Greek school, you know, in Victorian universities. The only one, you know, it's in Latrobe, which is really small. And 2 years ago, you know, and it was to close. But then, you know, there are some, you know, people, you know, from the Greek community or whatever, you know, they moved, you know, when to save that. And if you think, you know, that, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, the Greek community here, you know, they did, you know, really good, you know, mobilizations, you know, to have, you know, the Greek, especially in the university level, especially in the Melbourne University or whatever, there were demonstrations and stuff like that. Now, you know, it's absolutely nothing, you know, because, you know, the new generation doesn't take, you know, Greek, you know, as, you know, they don't need, you know, to live.
Well, they don't need Greek.
They don't need. They think, you know, that they don't need. It's,
that's right.
It's nothing.
Is it hard to learn Greek? Say for an English speaker.
Not really.
No, not really? No.
All right. The grammar, it's difficult, though, but okay.
How about reading, writing?
I know so many people, you know, they're academics or whatever, you know, English speaking, you know, Australians or English or whatever, they speak, you know, fluent Greek.
How about say some idiot like me wanted to learn Greek at my age? How hard would it be for me?
Probably difficult, you know, at that age.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the people, you know, I know who are not Greek and they, you know, they're mostly, you know, English speaking, you know, they learn Greek, you know, in the university
when they were younger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I think many people would know you as an anarchist here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Dimitri. So when did you get this love of anarchy? When did all this start?
Look, initially, I was 15 and a half, you know, when, in 1975, and, you know, that's a few, like 3-4 months, you know, after, you know, the collapse of the dictatorship, you know, in August 74. Cool. Sorry. In the start, you know, of 75, you know, I was organized, you know, in the Communist Youth. I was part, you know, of the Communist Party, the Stalinist one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was really active, you know, especially in my school, as a high school student. I was, I became, you know, secretary of the organization, you know, in the school, because we had, you know, organizations everywhere, especially in the schools and universities. But then, you know, 78, 79, I started, you know, reading, you know, the then existing, you know, in Greek language, you know, works, you know, by Bakunin, Kropotkin, and all of this stuff. You know, there are not so many. But I was, as I said before, you know, I was a person, you know, that I'm always, you know, looking for something new. I was always, you know, researching and stuff like that, you know. And so, and at the time, 79, 80, there was also the events, you know, in Poland.
Yep.
There was a really good starting point, you know, for some of us, you know. There was a huge break, especially in the communist youth, you know, in Greece. Hundreds, you know, left, and I was one of them. So from the winter 1980, I entered, you know, the then anarchist movement. But I didn't say, you know, I'm an anarchist.
Right.
All right, I said, you know, all right, you know, I'm following, you know, the anarchist ideas, but it's not sure yet. I was starting to be sure, you know, like 81, 82 or something like that. Then I had, you know, the army problem because, you know, the army, you know, it's compulsory in Greece. Still is. So in 82, you know, I went to the army. I spent about a year. And after, you know, returning from the army, you know, I just, you know, dedicated, you know, full.
You've had enough.
Full, you know, myself.
Enough of authority.
Yeah. Something like that.
So, how hard is the military service during that year?
Look, for me, you know, it was not, you know, so bad, though. I was serving in an island in Rhodes, about a year. That was okay. I mean, I was actually, you know, serving in the tank.
The tank, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So in the islands, we had not, you know, so many. Our units, you know, were really small, and we are attached, you know, to the normal army, you know. So that was okay, you know. In the islands, you know, if I was in the Turkish Greek borders, you know, it would be difficult though.
Difficult area.
But I was lucky, you know. So.
Well, you were lucky. You met Georgia.
I was really
you
lucky.
You met Georgia. You came to Australia. You had a job for 31 years.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, of course I was really lucky. And, you know, yeah.
Our generation is a lucky generation. We don't realize that.
Australia gave me, you know, opened me many ways, you know, in many respects. You know, not just, you know, work, but also I learned English. I improved, you know, my English. Because I was always, you know, interested, you know, about, you know, the anarchist history, not just, you know, the Greek one, but globally. So I came, you know, with various writings and stuff like that. You know, it was really good. Mm. It was really good, yeah.
Now, I understand you've been involved in a publishing venture that's spanned decades. You've been trying to cobble together the history of the Greek anarchist movement.
Yeah, that's all right. Look, when I started, you know, researching about, you know, the history of Greek anarchist movement, you know, from the 19th century, it was 85, 86. I did it, you know, because I wanted, you know, to explain why the Marxist historians, you know, until then, you know, had, you know, written about, you know, this stuff. They had, you know, so many holes about, you know, the anarchists. So I was starting to research, you know, why. So I read, you know, all the Marxist historians, most of them. I was not happy, and I said, look, I'm going, you know, to do, you know, my own research.
Yep.
That was a really individual stuff, you know. There was not, you know, anyone else that involved, you know, in that.
Yes.
Except, you know, all right, I had, you know, one or two friends, you know, that sometimes one of them, you know, helped me a little bit, you know. But anyway, and as I said, you know, before, the first years, you know, the first two or three years, I didn't imagine, you know, that I was going, you know, to write books about it. The idea, you know, the book idea came after, you know, just 1.5 years, you know, before I come here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So a few months, you know, before, you know, I traveled to Australia, I wrote, you know, the first book, you know, was about, you know, like 300 pages handwritten. That I gave, you know, to someone, you know. Anyway, there was a long story, though. To cut it short, after all of this, you know, adventures and stuff like that, in 2017, I published the first book.
Excuse me. That's 18 and 35 years.
No, 29 years.
29 years. 29 years. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, it took that long to bring it together. Obviously, you had children.
I brought together, you know, two or three times.
So what happened?
Look, in 93, 94, 95, I had, you know, some promise, you know, with some anarchist group, you know, in Athens, you know, that are going to be published.
Right.
Then, you know, I discovered, you know, we had, you know, ideological differences and other stuff, you know, and I decided, you know, to take, you know, the book from them.
Right.
Then I found, you know, some other stuff, you know, that I wanted, you know, to put in the book. I wrote, you know, some chapters again.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had, you know, in 98, you know, we had, you know, our first child. That, of course, you know, it took me back, you know. You know, in 2000, I had the second form, you know, of the second book, you know, and I wanted to publish it, to print it here. But then I realized, you know, that, all right, I can go in Britain here, but, you know, how, you know, distribute, you know, from here to Greece, you know,
right,
because
yes,
it's all in Greek.
Mm.
And in 2002, I met in a travel, you know, in Greece, I met, you know, with a guy who was doing, you know, the same thing, actually.
Right.
And we decided, you know, to connect, you know, our efforts. That took us about, you know, 1.5 years or whatever. then he suddenly, you know, announced, you know, that, okay, look, you know, he's not going, you know, to do, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. There was another comrade, you know. Anyway, mm-hmm. all of these, you know, adventures, you know, with the book.
Yeah.
But in 2015, 16, I just, you know, the final
draft. Yeah.
And then I had, you know, serious talkings, you know, with people in Greece, you know, to publish that.
Right.
So in 2017, I published the book with the a collective from Thessaloniki.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, the book, you know, was really big.
Right.
The book, it's, you know, was almost, you know, 900, you know, pages.
Right, yes.
Because, you know, I had, you know, also, you know, the diaspora, Greek radicals, libertarians, you know, right, in America, in
right.
whatever. And then I realized, you know, look, you know, we're not going to do, you know, this big book. We're going, you know, to do, you know, the first book, you know, for the Greek area, and then, you know, the diaspora, which is a different book.
Right.
That's what we did. You know, that's why, you know, it's two books. The first book, it's 700 papers, pages.
And what's it called?
All right, the son of anarchy is rising,
right?
Because, you know, that was the title, you know, of the anarchist leaflet in Patras, you know, Western Greece,
yep.
in 1896.
Right. Yes. And what are the other books you've published now? You said you've published.
Yeah,
three.
The second book, you know, is the Diaspora.
Yeah,
I have not Australia inside.
What? Not one Australian.
I have not Australia inside.
Right.
Deliberately, because. There are not so many Greek anarchists here,
no.
you know, except me and probably, you know, I don't know who was, yes, you know, yeah. like 10, 20 years ago, something like that. The thing, you know, it's dominated, you know, by the communists, you know, I didn't want, you know, to involve with that. And I've got a third book about 2 years ago, it's published 3 years ago, yeah, about, you know, organizational efforts, you know, in the 80s.
In the 80s,
right. Which is was efforts, you know, and groups or whatever that I participated.
Right.
And I was actually the only one, you know, who had kept, you know, all the archives, you know, like
right,
leaflets,
right, right.
meetings, you know, minutes and stuff
so
like that.
Everything.
You know. So I did a book, you know, about that.
Yes.
And then, I've got, you know, also poetry collections, you know.
Poetry collection. What do you mean, poetry collection? You
don't poetry.
You don't sound like a man who likes poetry.
Did
your wife?
I write poetry, you know, from my school years.
Well, about your late wife, did she like poetry, Georgia?
No, Georgia didn't didn't write poetry.
Didn't write poetry.
No, she was, she liked, because, you know, she was a lit teacher, you know, she was an English teacher, so, you know,
So you write poetry in English or Greek?
My poetry?
Yeah.
In Greek.
In Greek.
But I've got the bilingual.
Right.
At the moment, you know, I'm working in the translation of one of the collections, you know, in English.
Right.
It's a slow
process.
Yeah, process. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not in a hurry.
Right.
I've got about probably 10. Yeah, 10 collections. I have published
10 collections.
Yeah, I have, you know, published, you know, 10 collections, poetry collections with Greek publishing companies. You know.
Right, and it's mainly distributed in Greece, is it?
Yeah. You can go. You know, I mean, if you are going in Athens, you know, the central bookshops, you can find them.
You can find the poetry. So we'll have to go to Athens to get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good reason.
No,
to go to
I've got, you know, some copies here, but I've got, you know, my personal archive.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it'd be a good reason to go to Greece. Look for your work. Why not?
Yeah,
you've spent a lifetime putting it together.
Yeah.
So how long were you with Georgia for, your partner? How many years were you together?
Together, 36 years.
36 years. Yeah, you've been
since 1989. You know, we met, and then, you know, until the end, which was last year, September.
Yes, because she had a battle with breast cancer, which she lost. Yes.
Yes, that was November 2024, yeah, it's about, you know, 10 and a half months, you know, lasted, you know, all of this.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, Georgie, you know, was also, you know, involved in 3CR.
Yes, tell us about her involvement in 3CR. How was she involved in 3CR? What programs was she involved in?
She was a listener, you know, and she was a subscriber, a member or something like that.
Yeah.
She distributed, you know, some stuff, you know, in Suoso in Fridays. She was translating, you know, stuff, you know, that I was sending, you know, here, you know, from, I mean, you know, like anarchist demonstrations and all this stuff, news.
Yes.
And she was translating, you know, I think, you know, there was a few stuff, you know, in your magazine.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And also in Rebel Worker,
Rebel
you know,
Worker,
I think
yeah.
it was, yeah. yeah. And yeah, some of this stuff, you know, they were already, you know, at the Suoso here.
Mm.
So probably she came, you know, a few times here, you know. And then we decided, you know, to do, you know, a program because we didn't like, you know, the Greek programs, you know, the then existing programs
here
Greek
Thrissia.
Programs, you know, in Thrissia.
Right.
Although, you know, we knew some people, you know, we have met, you know, some, okay.
So what programs did you do with Georgia?
We did an anarchist program, you know.
Right.
Yeah, we were reading, you know, anarchist leaflets.
Right.
We had, you know, music. We had current affairs, you know, all of this stuff, you know. Yeah, yeah, there was 2 hours.
But what was it called?
You know, No World Order.
Right, and that was between midnight and 2 a.m.
Yeah, 12 to 2, yeah.
Well, the children...
And the last, you know, the last 1.5 years, I think, you know, I was doing alone.
Yes.
Georgia, you know, what could it do? There was 1.5 hour.
Yes.
You know, there was 10:30 to 12. Well, yeah, that was much better.
Right,
right. And I had, you know, many more listeners.
Many more listeners,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
know. Not many people awake.
Yeah.
And... You're doing a program now at 3CR, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I'm a part, you know, of a group, three people we are, and, you know, we, that's another story. We started, you know, this program, actually, you know, this group, you know, started in 2010, I think, 2011, when some of us realized, you know, that in Melbourne, you know, there is a Golden Dawn branch.
Yes. Could you explain to people, although they're kind of...
Yeah, Golden Dawn, you know, was the neo-Nazi party.
Yeah.
And
they were very popular, weren't they?
Yeah, they came, you know, third, actually, in 2012, 2013, in the elections there.
Mm.
The third party, you know, which is unusual, you know, for Greece, you know, always, you know, were neo-Nazi organizations there, but they were not, you know, so popular. The interesting thing, you know, was they were popular during the crisis, and especially, you know, from working class, you know, suburbs and areas, you know,
yes.
Of course. History, you know, has proven that so many times, isn't it?
And once again,
once again,
you know.
And, and then some of us, you know, decided, you know, to oppose, you know, the Golden Dawn here in Melbourne.
So they actually had a branch in Melbourne.
Yeah, they had a branch in Melbourne, and actually, you know, back in 2010-11, they were looking, you know, to open an office, which never did it, actually. But then we had, you know, we were, you know, like a big group, like, you know, 15 people or whatever, you know, all Greek Australians, because we had, you know, some newcomers, because there was a new migration wave because of the crisis. Anyway, and then in 2014-15, they applied because they had, you know, three members, you know, in the European Parliament,
Golden
Dawn.
Yes, yeah.
And the two of them, you know, in 2014, they applied, you know, in Australia, you know, for a visa to come here, you know, to talk, you know, the Greek communities around Australia or whatever. And Australia, you know, denied that. That was August 2014. And at the same time, they had, you know, some liberal member, you know, in the Victorian Parliament, who was Greek-Australian, Nick Kotsiras, I think, you know, was, raised the question in the Victorian Parliament because, you know, Golden Dawn here, they had something like a charity group.
Yep.
And they were collecting stuff, you know, and sending it in Greece.
Sending it back to Greece, yes.
But they was not, you know, registered.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you know, he learned about that and he did, you know, a question, you know, at the Victorian Parliament if, you know, the government, you know, knew, you know, that it was this existing and what it's doing and what they're going to do.
Mm.
And the next day, everything of that, you know, disappeared, you know. I mean, right. You know, Golden Dawn disappeared, you know, right. the next day, right.
Yeah, so that was the impetus to get the program.
Yeah.
And so what's the program called?
The program is called, you know, Greek Resistance Bulletin.
Yeah, and when's it on?
It's Tuesday, 10 to 11.
10 to 11
in the night.
Yeah. And who does the program with you? You said there were two others.
Yeah, it's George and George Lupas, I think, and Alex Kakafikas.
Right.
And me.
And yeah, right.
Yeah, so we are, you know, the only remaining, you know, from this group because. We had, you know, some disagreements between us. You know, some of them, you know, were Syriza supporters.
Yes.
There was a referendum, you know, back in 2015, you know, in Greece, if the Greeks, you know, were to remain, you know, the European Union or not. You know, 62%, you know, were against.
Yes.
But, you know, the next morning, you know, the 62 no become yes. You know, it was a Syriza government there, Alexis Tsipras, you know, so many problems. Anyway, some of us, you know, had really huge problems, you know, with Syriza, and you know, and that's how, you know, we started, you know, to do the program, because, you know, at the same time, you know, was there were, you know, so many, you know, experiments, base experiments, you know, in during the tents, during, you know, the crisis years in Greece, you know, because it's the first time, you know, because, you know, Greece, you know, has not a tradition, you know, in luck, you know, for example, rank and file unions or, you know, base organizations, you know, really direct democratic and, you know, cooperatives and stuff like that. So we decided to leave, you know, the anti-fascist, you know, because there was not actually reason, because, Golden Dawn was started, you know, to tear
down. Disappear, yeah.
It disappeared, and then we started, you know, doing, you know, this stuff, you know, just in studying solidarity, you know, just spreading, you know, the news, you know, that in Greece, you know, there is a movement, you know, from below.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That's how, you know, the program started.
Right.
And still going on.
And what do you concentrate on these days? What type of...
As a program?
Yes. What type of...
Look, there are various, you know, struggles, you know, in Greece. Always, you know, a struggle in Greece. At the moment, we've got, you know, the flotilla. There are two flotillas.
Yes.
You know, the flotilla. You know, the recent one. You know, two days ago.
Yes.
There were some Greeks there. Apparently, there will be this coming Friday. Probably will be a demonstration outside of the Greek consulate.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. There are also, you know, the Tebbi disaster, you know, the 3 years ago, you know,
yes.
You know, there were 57 people, you know, died, you know, in a train accident, you know, was the biggest, you know, in this country, and the government, you know, did absolutely nothing. They just, you know, want, you know, to cover, you know, everything, you know.
Mm.
The society, you know, it's really angry with that, still is.
Mm.
And various others, you know, you know.
Right. Is it bilingual, the program, or is it in English? Is it in Greek?
The first years, you know, was bilingual. Now, you know, the last one or two, probably 2.5 years, you know, it's just Greek. But
just Greek, right?
I think, you know, we can start, you know, the English again.
You think so? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all Greek to me when I listen.
Look, every one of us, you know, was working full time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
yeah.
We have not, you know, time.
It's not a it's not a criticism.
It takes some time.
Yeah, it takes time.
And Alex, you know, knows, okay, I can do that. You know, I'm doing translations. You know, yeah. George, you know, is not so fluent.
Yes.
So the two of us, you know, we could do, but, you know, now I'm not working. I finished work. Probably I'm considering, you know, to translate, you know, something.
Do some English. Now, I understand that you've been involved in an attempt to reinvigorate the anarchist movement in Australia by...
Yeah.
Forming a new organization.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what is the organization? What's it called?
Well, the organization is called, you know, Anarchist Communist Federation, ACF.
All right, now, hang on. Anarchist Communist Federation.
Anarchist Communist Federation.
What are the basic principles of anarcho-communism?
All right. We think, you know, that all anarchists, you know, are communists. You know,
yes.
Communism, you know,
yes.
It's, you know, the...
Just for our listeners' sake.
Yeah, the community, you know, the common...
Common community,
common
yeah.
things, you know.
Yeah.
Anarchists, of course, you know, it's against the state, all of this authority.
Yeah.
There is a background. because I was involved, you know, with Melbourne Anarchist Communist Group, you know. Yes. We started, you know, in 2004, in December.
Yeah.
So we were used to be in a small group, like, you know, three people. Sometimes, you know, we're five or six, but
right. Well, a mass movement.
People are moving, yes. People, yeah. You know, have, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
But around, you know, 2020, we realized, you know, that there a new wave, you know, of people, you know, who are really interested, you know, about, you know, class struggle and all of this stuff, especially in class struggle, and especially you working in the unions and all of this stuff. They were not, you know, part, you know, of the old, you know, anarchist or anarcho-syndicalist
milieu
scene, you know, we used to know, you know, in Melbourne and in Australia,
yes.
Or whatever. And they're really critical, you know. And we started, you know, in 2020, actually the first or the second week, you know, of the first lockdown, we started, you know, a Zoom weekly discussion, you know, the various things. What is anarchism? What is anarcho-communism? What is, you know, Spain or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, all of this. You know, how to work in the unions,
yeah.
How to work then, all of this stuff. This was really good because, you know, we discovered, you know, lots of people, not just in Melbourne, but also from Brisbane, from Sydney, even from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, there was a group, you know, similar to us, you know, similar politics, you know, in Brisbane, Anarchist Communist Menzin, you know, which is the Mianzin, which is the Aboriginal
name for Brisbane,
name of Brisbane.
Yep.
And another group, a little bit losing, you know, in Sydney, which later, you know, became, you know, Black Flag, and various others. So we decided, you know, all of these groups, you know, especially the three groups, to come together in internal discussions, you know, with the aim, you know, to form, you know, a civil organization in Australia, which is not, you know, of course, a tradition. There is not, you know, Anarchist Communist Federation.
Yes.
Anarchist Communist, you know, was the most, you know, the Melbourne Anarchist Club, you know,
Jack
Andrews and all of them, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, such an organization, there was not. You know, there was a federation back in the 70s, as you know.
That's right, yeah.
But, you know, fall apart, you know, after a few months or a year or something like that. We studied, you know, these issues, you know, especially, you know, with the Federation of Australian Anarchists, you know, and how, you know, they fall out and all of this stuff, you know. And so we didn't like, you know, to repeat, you know, these mistakes, you know. And anyway, and finally, in January 2025, we had a conference here in Melbourne where we found, you know, the Anarchist Communist Federation with three branches, Melbourne, Geelong and Brisbane. We announced, you know, officially on the 1st of May 2025,
mm-hmm.
because from January to May, you know, we work, you know, internally, you know, to structure, you know, more, you know, a website, you know, magazine and stuff like that, an internal structure. Now we've got another branch in Sydney. We're four branches. We're still going on, and we're growing up. We've got, you know, contacts, you know, in other cities, in other states, in Australia. And the most successful thing at the moment is the Anarchist Political School. The Anarchist Political School started especially from Melbourne, from us. It's like a school, but informal school. You know, you have not, you know, homework and stuff.
No,
like
I understand,
that.
Yes.
It's obviously.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, everything, you
right,
know.
Right. So it's a virtual school, is it? Or is it physical or both?
Physical.
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 Yeah, tell us about it. How often does
the
it?
The first one, you know, was in, started, you know, in Coburg. Actually, you know, was happening in Catalyst. You know, there is a social center.
Catalyst,
in Road, Coburg.
Yeah.
The first one, you know, was there as Melbourne Anarchist Communist Group. And then we had, you know, people, you know, interested, you know, from other places. Now we've got, you know, in four or five, you know, different locations. You know, we've got, you know, two different ones in Carlton. There is not in Coburg. There is, used to be, you know, one in Oakley and in these areas there.
Yeah, yeah.
There was in Footscray. And also, you know, it's an online one.
Right.
Which is mostly, you know, the Brisbane branch, you know, it's doing that. Very responsible. Because, you know, after that, you know, the APS, Anarchist Political School, become, you know, the whole federation's, you yes, know, work. Yes. And we've got, you know, also from overseas.
Right.
From overseas.
So if anybody's interested, how do they contact you?
Unconfed.org. It's the website. Unconfed. So Unconfed.
Could you spell that for us?
A-N?
Yep.
C-O-M? Fed. Yeah. F-E-D.
No dots, no A-U, no...
Unconfed.org.
.org.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you know, H-H-T.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, that stuff. But, you know, now, could you just tell us it again, slowly?
Unconfed.org.
Yeah. U-N?
A-N.
A-N.
Anarchist. Yeah. Com. C-O-M. Communist. Yeah. Fed.
F-E-D.
F-E-D. Federation.
So, A-N, C-O-M, Fed. Dot. Org.
Oh, yeah.
So, A-N, com, fed, dot org.
Yeah, yeah, one word, unconfed.
Very simple.
We published Picket Line, a magazine, which is our fifth issue now at the moment.
So, what's the magazine called?
Picket Line.
Picket Line. So, are you mainly concentrating on unions?
Yeah. We've got, union is our priority.
Right. Why is the union movement your priority?
Because we think, you know, that the most possible, you know, way, you know, to do things is the working class.
Right. So many organizations have concentrated on the trade union movement in
the past. There is a international tendency because, you know, the organization belongs, you know, in the international network, which is called, you know, International Coordination of Organized Anarchism.
Right.
You know, the organizations, federations and not federations from especially Latin America, Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay, the Black Cross Federation from America, which is a federation, and we've got, you know, Union Communiste Libertaire, you know, from France. We've got, you know, two organizations from Spain. One is from Catalonia. We've got Italy. We've got Switzerland, German, D Platform, which is a federation, actually. It started, you know, from a group, but, you know, now it's a federation in various cities. And we've got, you know, an organization in South Korea.
Yeah.
And plus other countries, especially around here, especially Indonesia. Indonesia, you know, it's a special case because of the repression and stuff like that. New Zealand, it's another thing. We try, you know, to do something in New Zealand.
But you work mainly within the trade union movement.
Yeah, but we involve, you know, in everywhere. You know,
everywhere.
We involve, you know, the anti-fascist. Instrumental, you know, the demonstrations against, you know, March for Australia.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
We actually, you know, were the first, you know, that called, you know, for a united front when, you know, the first, you know, March of Australia, you know, was to happen.
Yes.
We have not problem to work, you know, with other, you know, organizations on the left.
So you're not
sectarian. But doesn't mean, you know, that, you know, that...
Obviously you're not sectarian. You know? Yeah, you're working on...
Of course, you know, we're not working with Socialist Alternative, but, you know, all right, we know each other, you know. We're involved, you know, in Palestinian rallies,
yes,
you know.
Right.
We're always there, even with a stall or whatever. Yeah,
whatever, all right. Well, it sounds... I mean, if people are interested, it's a good way.
Yeah, you know.
If people want to be active, it's a good way.
Yeah, the organization is really good. I mean, we've got, you know, really, we've got, you know, some criteria, you know, to become a member, you know.
It's, obviously. Yeah,
of course.
It's not open.
You know.
Well, it's like any other group. You've got to have a criteria.
Like
It's like any other group.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, so what are your plans for the future?
As a federation?
No, as you. You.
I mean,
you're 67. You've just retired. I mean, you, your wife died recently.
Look, I'm still, you know, writing. I have, you know, to publish, you know, a few books. I have done, you know, some translations, you know, with books. I don't know who is going to publish. I'm pushing.
So what can you tell us what type of books you...
All right. The one book, it's about, you know, a Bulgarian anarchist, you know, which is... it's also, you know, all the history, you know, of Bulgarian anarchism. Alexander Nakov, you know, Jack Gronsarov, you know, used to know him.
Yes, yes.
He died, you know, a few years, I think, you know, 16, 17 or something like that. I've got, you know, a book, you know, published, you know, by Black Cat Press, you know, which is from Edmonton in Canada.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I translated that. It remains, you know, to be published in Greek. I have also published, translated a book from English as well, from Alexander Skirda. Alexander Skirda, you know, was a Ukrainian French historian. He died as well a few years ago. He was a really good historian. You know, and I have also published a translation of Frank Fernandez's Cuban Anarchism History. I have already published that.
You've published that in Greek. Is there much interest in Greece in these publications? What's the anarchist movement like in Greece these days?
It's still insurrectionally. Insurrectional.
It's an insurrection movement.
Look, I don't really disagree. I don't really agree with them. There is a small group, you know, in Athens, you know, that they are close to us. They are struggling now. You know, they did an expansion. You know, I don't know, in some other areas or ever.
That's fine. I just wanted to check whether there actually
was
a
big movement in numbers. You know, in many groups or ever, but it's really unorganized. You know, they don't like organizations.
Disorganized.
Most of them.
Right. So, you're not going to retire, are you, and sit and watch television or
play on the YouTube?
And you're not going to play on the YouTube.
My son, you know, watching, you know, the footy sometimes.
All right. Yeah.
Sometimes. But he's a soccer player.
All right.
You know.
Yeah, that's good. Well, how old is he now?
He turned 30th of April, you know, 18. He's year 12. He's really busy now, you know, as year 12.
Just like you were when you were 18.
I don't know what he's doing, though. He has not, you know, decided. But I discovered, you know, that it's really common, you know, in these years, you know, this...
That's why they take gap years. You know? They take a few years to work it out.
He plays soccer, you know, in some local club group, in 18s.
Do you go and watch?
Yeah, I watch him, you know, one or two times. But the thing is, you know, they play Saturdays, and on Saturdays, you know, I've got, you know, other stuff. Besides, you know, they have not, you know, a good team, though.
All right. Well, let's get back to, I don't want to upset him, let's get back to the Greek resistance. Is it a half hour or an hour?
1 hour.
1 hour. And you expect to continue with that?
Of course.
And are we going to see your mob down at the 50th birthday party?
Yeah, of course.
You're going to have a stall or something?
Actually, we had a meeting, you know, last week, and we decided, you know, to do something. If we could, you know, could do a stall, you know, in Collingwood Town Hall, you know, on 4th of July.
Yeah, that'd be good.
With Philip.
Yep.
And any other, you know... migrant program, you know, probably I have, you know, to conduct, you know, I don't know, probably, you know, the Latin American, you know...
Programs.
Or something like that.
Well, we're one of the few stations that actually has radical migrant programs.
I think it's the only one.
So it'd be good to have you all down there on the day.
I remember, you know, when they're doing, you know, No World Order, we had, you know, a guy before of us, you know, he was doing the Argentinian program.
Yes.
And he left, and then... a guy, you know, doing, you know, the Somali program came. Yeah, that was back then, you know, 96, the first Somali program, you know.
And it's still going, you know. It's still going. We've got a lot of programs that ethnic programs that have been here a long time. Yeah. We have a lot of people. Well, thank you very much for coming into the studio. It was a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully a few people will contact you. Have you got a personal? I mean, have you got a separate web page to the AnComFed for your poetry or work?
I've got a Facebook account.
What's your Facebook?
Dimitris Troditis.
Could you please spell that for our listeners?
Dimitris Troditis. You know?
Spell it for us, please. I mean, we're not all Greeks, all right?
D-I-M. I-T-R-I-S. That's my
Dimitris
Troditis. Troaditis. That's one word.
Troa.
Yeah. Troaditis.
Okay. Well, hopefully a few people contact you. The program will be podcast, and hopefully
the program, you know, it's if you are going, you know, in the 3CR, you know, website, you know, you can find the Greek Resistance Bulletin. There is also another, you know, Facebook page, you know, from the Greek Resistance Bulletin. I have not, you know, Instagram and whatever.
That's all right.
Instagram, I think it's, you know, for the young ones, you know.
That's
my
all
son
right.
says, you know, I have not, you know, Facebook, because this is for the old people.
Exactly. thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming in. Thank you very much, Henrietta.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.